And I want you to get in groups of three or four, no more. And I want you to answer a simple question. It'll take about a minute. Where was your favorite place to hide when you played hide and seek as a kid? Where was your favorite place to hide when you played hide and seek as a kid? Go. Groups of three or four, no more. You're laughing. All right, let's see what we got. Who's got a good one? You, of course you do. Yes.
My grandma had a cold storage closet where she kept all of her really cool stuff that the kids weren't allowed to play with, and that's where I hid.
All kinds of sins went through my mind. Okay, I'm going to let that go. You got one? Okay, I got two right here. Sue?
I hid in the dryer.
I would think that's that's not possible. You've done it? Oh, you're the man. You guys need to get together afterwards. You got something in common, hiding in the dryer. Oh, there, look at you. Look at yourself on the iMac. All right, and you got one over here?
I hid in my neighbor's doghouse.
With or without the dog? Any landmines or anything in there? Okay, good. That's good. Anybody else? Yes.
I was in the bottom of the toy box underneath the toys.
That is good. Christine, you got one? Christina, I'm coming. Here we go. Yes.
I'd climb up on the cabinets and hide in them.
On the high cabinets? Oh, I love that. That's awesome. Please don't do that at home. We're not condoning that. Well, the first hour, people were hiding among the dead. One guy hid in by tombstones in the cemetery. Another guy hid in a mortuary and had an arm flopped down on him while he was. It was interesting. We hide among the dead. So, hey, I loved hide and seek as a kid. And so I used to hide where you physically wouldn't think, just like the dryer. You wouldn't think somebody could fit. And it's amazing where we can fit. And I would hide in a little cabinet underneath the sink where I didn't think anybody could tell that I was there and they couldn't find me. It was great. I loved it. Well, growing up as a dad, I bring that game into my household with my new daughter, Megan. She's three or four back then. We're at our house in Auburn. And I found that place where it looks like you wouldn't fit. And it's this pantry inside our kitchen. It had these double doors. You kind of peek through them, see the light through them if there's any motion outside. And there were no really like door handles, so you'd have to pull the door shut underneath the bottom of the door. Well, it was at nighttime, and I was working pretty hard and not getting a whole lot of sleep. And I think I dozed off. And I kind of come to, and I look out, and I notice that there's no movement. So I kind of slowly open the door, and I peek around it. And there's Megan watching TV, eating a snack. And I said, Megan, that's not the way the game works. You're supposed to seek me until you find me. Megan's over there watching TV. Oh, it's too hard to find you. You win. And aren't we fortunate that when we hide from God, that He does not quit seeking? We're going to talk about hide and seek today, and we're going to address this question. When God seeks me, do I hide? Do I continue to hide in my pride? Or do I seek His will? When God seeks me, do I continue to hide in my pride? Or do I seek God's will for my life? Let's stand and read 1 Kings 18. After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria, and Ahab had summoned Obadiah, who was in charge of his palace. Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord. While Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and supplied them with food and water. Ahab had said to Obadiah, "Go through the land to all the springs and valleys. Maybe we can find some grass to keep the horses and mules alive so we will not have to kill any of our animals." So they divided the land they were to cover, Ahab going in one direction and Obadiah in another. As Obadiah was walking along, Elijah met him. Obadiah recognized him, bowed down to the ground, and said, "Is it really you, my Lord Elijah?" "Yes," he replied. "Go tell your master Elijah is here." "What have I done wrong?" asked Obadiah, "that you're handing your servant over to Ahab to be put to death. As surely as the Lord your God lives, there is not a nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to look for you. And whenever a nation or kingdom claimed you were not there, he made them swear they could not find you. But now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is here.' I don't know where the Spirit of the Lord may carry you when I leave you. If I go and tell Ahab and he doesn't find you, he will kill me. Yet I, your servant, have worshipped the Lord since my youth. Have you heard, my Lord, what I did while Jezebel was killing the prophets of the Lord? I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in 2 caves, 50 in each, and supplied them with food and water. And now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is here?' He will kill me." Elijah said, "As the Lord Almighty lives whom I serve, I will surely present myself to Ahab today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Let's pray. And now, God, may the words that follow be yours, not mine. Soften our hearts. Open us, God, to hear what you have to say and to listen. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When God calls, when the word of the Lord comes, as it did with Elijah, do we hide or do we seek? The first thing we see here in the first 2 verses is that, write this down, God seeks us first. God seeks us first. What's the first thing that we say when we're the one who's seeking in hide and seek? What's the first thing we say when we're done counting? Say it with me. Ready or not, here I come. Can you do that better one more time? 1, 2, 3. Ready or not, here I come. And that's what the word of the Lord comes to Elijah and he says, "Ready or not, here I come. Are you going to hide or are you going to seek?" And you know, the other thing that's interesting, and Elijah responds, he's found and he seeks. The other thing that's interesting is when we play hide and seek, it's not your turn to seek until what? Until you're found. Until you're found. That's interesting. We continually try to hide from God. But will we be found when the word of the Lord comes? Will we hide or will we seek his will for our lives? See, Elijah had been hiding during the 3.5 years of famine. But if you look back in 17:3, it was God who told him to hide. That's different than the hiding that we're going to talk about for the next 2 guys. God had told him to hide because he had brought the famine to discipline Ahab and the land, and now he's going to provide the answer in the rain. There's going to be a showdown, and God's going to reveal himself in a very unique way. I got intrigued with this. The word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. And I researched it. It's in the Old Testament 106 times. 106 times it's in the Old Testament. The word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came to Abraham. The word of the Lord came to Samuel. The word of the Lord came to Nathan. The word of the Lord came to Solomon. The word of the Lord came to Elijah, to Isaiah, to Jeremiah, to Ezekiel, to Jonah, to Haggai, to Zerubbabel, to Zechariah. The word of the Lord comes to you. And he comes to me. And will we be like Elijah and realize that God seeks us first? And will we seek God's will or will we hide? See, hiding is pretending. God can find anyone. Hebrews 4:13, if you want to jot it down, Hebrews 4:13 says, "No one, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him who we must give account. So you're not going to hide from God. And this idea that God seeks us first, whether we seek him or not, that's really important. Isaiah 65, 1 through 10, Aaron addressed this in her story, that even when she wasn't seeking God, and even when you and I don't seek God, he seeks us. He seeks those who did not seek him, Isaiah 65. So in the midst of your famine, in the midst of your adversity, in the midst of your drought, what's the word of the Lord saying to you? And are you going to hide? Or are you going to seek? Are you going to hide? Or are you going to seek? Well, next we see, if you want to write this down, number two, pride hides in two caves of self-reliance. Write that down. Pride hides in two caves of self-reliance. Pride hides in two caves of self-reliance. It goes on. Now the famine was severe in Samaria, and Ahab had summoned Obadiah, who was in charge of his palace. And they go on. The writer goes on to make this huge contrast between Obadiah, who was obedient to God, and Ahab, who we've seen earlier, is more evil in his heart than any king prior to him. And Ahab's cave is a cave of license. Write that down. First of these two caves. Ahab's cave of license. Ahab's cave of license, which is willful disobedience. Willful disobedience. Write that down. License. Willful disobedience. And we're in a cave, usually, because we're afraid. It's rooted in pride. It's in self-reliance. And fear tends to be the motive that we're in the cave. And it's fear of losing something. And if you're in the cave of license, like Ahab, you're afraid of losing control. License is fear of losing control. If you're in Ahab's cave of license, you're afraid of losing control. See, it says there in the text in verses 4 and 5 that Ahab doesn't want to kill any of the horses or the mules. Well, you know why? It represents his military control. Represents his kingdom. He does not want to lose control. And in our cave of willful disobedience of license, we're afraid of losing control. And it's always been that way. It's nothing new. Genesis 3, verses 8 through 10. Let's look at this. Then the man and his wife heard the sound. Now, because of their pride, because they've desired life apart from God, and they knew the consequences and they did it anyway. Then listen to what happens. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord. The word of the Lord came as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I always picture that as something like this, something like, shh. And they did what? They hid. They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" The word of the Lord came. He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked in my sin, so I hid." And man has been hiding from God in his pride and his fear ever since. And this first cave is willful disobedience, license, the fear of losing control, and it's a heart condition. It's a hard heart against God. Well, our second cave of self-reliance that we see is Obadiah's cave of legalism. Legalism, write that down. Obadiah's cave of legalism, which is self-righteous obedience. Legalism, self-righteous obedience. Now, again, the writer of the text goes a great length to show us that Obadiah is obedient, okay, a devout believer. I don't believe that Obadiah is a legalist. I believe that he's going to fight with legalism, which you and I do all the time if we take our faith and our obedience seriously. There's the risk that we'll trust in our obedience and our self-reliance rather than in the one whom we're obeying. See, Obadiah means the Lord's servant. The Lord's servant. And Obadiah's going to use that word a lot, servant, as he talks. And he's probably not the Obadiah who's the writer of the book of the prophet Obadiah. And he's the servant there of also Ahab and of his palace. And he probably has the means to hide these prophets, which I think he's supposed to do probably by the text, in two caves of 50 each in case one would be found, the other wouldn't. But look what he says when he encounters Elijah. He goes, "Oh, Elijah," he gets to the ground, he says, "You're the man. You're the man. You're God's man." Elijah, the word of the Lord comes through Elijah to Obadiah, and he says, "Go tell your master I'm here." And Obadiah goes from this knees-bent position and looks up at him and says, "You gotta be kidding me. He's gonna kill me." And this is what legalism here is. It's fear of losing the reward. Write that down. It's fear of losing the reward or gaining judgment. And he says, "You're going to kill me. You know, this isn't the way it should work." You know? And write this down. He says, "My past obedience should warrant future blessing." Write that down. My past obedience, Elijah, warrants future blessing. Look what he says. It's in the second part of verse 12. He said, "Yet I, your servant of the Lord, have worshipped the Lord since my youth." Those are servant and worship are plays on the name of the Obadiah. "I have worshipped him since my youth. My past obedience, Elijah, warrants future blessing. Haven't you heard? Listen what else I did. While Jezebel was killing the prophets, I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in 2 cases, 50 in each, and supplied them with food and water. And now you tell me the word of the Lord comes and seeks, and you tell me to go to my master and say, Elijah's here? He will kill me. Please let me hide in my cave of legalism, of self-righteous obedience, of self-reliance. Please, Elijah, please, God, we say, let past obedience warrant future blessing." It's always been this way. Look at Job. It's going to come on the screen. Job 13, verses 20 through 24. Job's in the midst of his trial, in the midst of his famine, in the midst of his adversity. He says, "Only grant me these two things, O God, and then I will not hide from you. Withdraw your hand from me and stop frightening me with your terrors. Then summon me and I will answer, or let me speak and you reply." Don't we say this to God? "How many wrongs and sins have I committed? Show me my offense and my sin." The audacity of legalism to say that to God. "Why do you hide your face and consider me your enemy?" It's almost a false humility that Paul writes about in Colossians 2. In your cave of self-reliance, which one is it do you think you're in? Which cave of self-reliance do you think you're in? Legalism, like Obadiah there, fear of losing your reward, your past obedience warrants future blessing? Or maybe is it license? You're afraid of losing control. You're just being willfully disobedient toward God. You'll know which one it is. If you know which one you're afraid of losing most, are you afraid of losing control? Or are you afraid of losing your reward from your past obedience? It's interesting. Obadiah corresponds with the Arabic name Abdallah. Abdallah is an alias of the person who represents in our world today the picture of hiding in a cave. Who would that be? Osama bin Laden. He goes by the alias Abdallah, which means servant of the Lord. When we were on our family vacation here a couple weeks ago, our connecting flight we missed, and we got scattered on the next flight to where we were going. And so I ended up sitting beside a man, and I kept noticing his ring on his finger. And he's probably in his early 50s, and he just was really, like, strong-looking. And I was reading a book, that you could easily tell was about God and about the Bible. And I'm looking at his ring. I notice he's looking at my book. So every encounter is a divine appointment, right? And I'm saying, "Oh, God, thank you for letting this happen." And I ask, "What's that ring?" I find out that he's Delta Forces. He's a Green Beret, and that was from El Salvador. And he says, "I'm really proud of that." And he says, "But, you know, now, my age, I'm working with the State Department. And I was not comfortable in a public setting saying everything that he told me. But I want to tell you this. He's been part of looking for Osama bin Laden." And he says, from his perspective, from Osama's perspective, it's a servant of the Lord. This is my word summarizing. It's a legalism, cave of legalism perspective. It's a cave of legalism perspective. he doesn't want to lose his reward from obedience. And he uses that when he recruits people. You'll be rewarded for this. You'll be rewarded for this. And fear of judgment. If you don't, this is going to happen. If you don't, this is going to happen. And you know, but the irony is he does all that, but he's still licentious. He still wants control. And it dawned on me in a conversation with someone this week in my office that we know what we really do. We really bounce around from cave to cave, hiding in our pride and our self-reliance, depending on which cave is most convenient for us at the moment. Somebody might be very legalistic, and then all of a sudden, boom, they say, do something, or say they're really licentious, all about, you know, willful disobedience. Loose people, licentious people, all of a sudden will become very legalistic on an issue. And it's whatever is convenient for us at the time. But you know what's interesting? As we bounce from cave back to cave, each time we're bouncing over what God intends for us in Jesus Christ. And so, write this down. Humility seeks God's will. Humility seeks God's will. Because humility seeks God. Because humility seeks God. See, what we see in verses 15 and 16 and what we saw in the beginning and what we see in the life of Elijah is Elijah has a humble heart. We'll see in the future he's in a few caves of his own, but he has a humble heart. And when the word of the Lord comes to Elijah, he usually doesn't hide. He seeks. And what we see in verses 15 and 16 is that Obadiah finally seeks. Obadiah finally humbles his heart and he seeks. He quits hiding in that cave of legalism. It's what you and I are to do. When the word of the Lord comes and he seeks us first, are we going to hide in our pride in the two caves of self-reliance, of legalism like Obadiah or license like Ahab, or are we going to seek him? It's interesting that Zephaniah 2:3 says, seek the Lord, seek humility. Seek the Lord, seek humility. I want you to see, it's going to come on the screens, Jeremiah 29, 12 through 14. Jeremiah 29, 12 through 14. And David also told Solomon this in a little one-on-one relationship. So this is not only true for us as the church, this is Jeremiah, God speaking through Jeremiah to Judah. This is also true for us individually. So listen to this. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with how much of your heart? Say it. All. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I'll bring you back from the cave. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. I'll bring you out of the cave. If you just humble your heart and seek me with all of your heart. Pride hides in the cave of self-reliance like Ahab hides, but humility seeks God's will. So if you're in the cave today, I want you to know what it means to seek God with all of your heart. So I've developed an acronym, SEEK. And the S is, write this down. When you find yourself in the cave, hiding in the cave of self-reliance, either legalism or license, the first thing you need to do is surrender your pride to God. Write that down. Surrender your pride to God. Be found. Be found. Quit hiding. Romans 6:13 says, surrender your lives to God. Proverbs 3:34 says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You got to humbly seek his will. Seek him. So surrender your pride to God. If acronyms aren't good for you, I'll give you a picture. Susan told me that there used to be a bread called Pride. Anybody remember Pride bread? Okay, two of you, that's good. So just remember that Pride bread or that Pride other house agent. I can't think what it's for. It's not dishwater. People show you a picture of Pride and Joy and they got, what is it? Dust? Oh, yeah, for the dust. That's right. Okay, so picture either the bread or the dust thing, the pride thing, with a white flag going right through it. Surrender your pride to God. Okay, if that's your learning style. Okay, moving on. E, embrace Christ. Embrace Christ. embrace Christ. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burden, all you who are weary from the cave of license and hiding, all of you who are heavy burdened by legalism in that cave, come to me. And like every cave sees a light peeking through, whatever cave we're hiding in, we can see him peeking through, the light of Christ, and we need to embrace Christ. Just picture this. Picture your arms around the one who has his arms around you, Jesus Christ. But then this 30 is really important. Exit the cave. Write that down. Exit the cave, because as believers especially, we want to embrace Christ and we don't want to exit the cave of self-reliance. We want to maintain control of our own lives. I heard it said this way: the easiest way to avoid this heart transformation that we're talking about is to embrace Christ as an example, but maintain control of my own life. We need to exit the cave of self-reliance. Jesus said, don't hide the light. Be salt and be light to a hurting world. And when they see your light, they will praise God in heaven. Well, surrender your pride. Embrace Christ, your arms around him, who's got his arms around you. Exit the cave. Picture an exit sign like back there on the interior of the cave. Just picture the exit sign as you go out. And then finally out there, outside the cave, picture a white flag. Keep surrendering. On this side of heaven, it's just in our fallenness, in our fallen culture, it's just going to be another cave and another cave and another cave. And will I keep surrendering? Legalism, license, fear of losing my reward for obedience, past obedience warrants future blessing, license, fear of losing control. Will I seek God with all of my heart? So what's that mean? To seek God with all of my heart. Well, write this down. Your heart, I say this a lot, but I want you to get it. Your heart is your mind, write this down, your emotions, your will, your spirit. Your mind, your emotions, your will, your spirit. Your mind, which is what you think and have images, your emotions, how you feel, your will, how you choose, your spirit, how you connect to God. And so I think it would look like this, to seek God with all of your heart, with your mind, with your thoughts. When a thought comes in, you know, I'm in the cave, I'm going to hide from God in my pride and my self-reliance, either in license or legalism. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, surrender that. Don't pretend. Don't pretend. Surrender that and take it obedient and make it captive to Christ. Any thought, surrender it. Embrace Christ. Exit the cave. Keep surrendering. With your emotions and your affections, mad, sad, glad, afraid, whatever it is, when those emotions come to you, run them through the grid and say, are my affections about the cave? Do I want to stay in the cave? Is it because I'm so afraid and I want to stay in the cave of either legalism or license? Isn't it interesting? And surrender that to Christ. Embrace Christ. Surrender your pride to God with your emotions. Embrace Christ with your emotions. Exit the cave with your emotions and keep surrendering. It's interesting that those of us who find ourselves in one of those caves want to be around other people who are in the same cave. People who are in license and just wanting to do whatever they want to do. They want to be around other people and be more, and everybody's so accepting. And people in legalism, they want to be around, you know, other people who are legalistic about their activity. Run those emotions through that grid of seek God with all your heart. Your choices. Are your choices with your will? You know, are they legalistic? Are they licentious? Or are they what Christ wants for your life? Some of you, like what you choose to eat, like Aaron talked about, some of you need to choose to eat. Some of us need to not choose to eat sometimes. Some of us are very disciplined and very strong wills, and we choose, you know, we're going to run our 5 miles every day. But we got this big fear that if we don't run, we're going to lose our reward. I didn't run my 5 today. You know, looking in the mirror. Some of you just need to lighten up and go get a hot fudge extra hot fudge at Ritter's or Zesto's and say, everything God's made is good. But some of us don't. Legalism, license, or what Christ is asking me to do. And then finally, with our spirit, with our connection to God. See, in the Old Testament, a lot of times it says heart and soul. Heart would be your spirit in that case. Soul would be your mind, emotions, and your will. But heart has always been designed to be this entire inner being, this wellspring of life that flows from me. And so with my spirit, with my prayers, do I pray what God wants in my life? Do I seek him? Do I surrender my pride to God? Do I embrace Christ with my prayers? Do I exit the cave of self-reliance? Do I keep surrendering with my prayers, with my vertical connection to God? Around here, we call it the five E's. So what's it look like when you seek God with all of your heart? With exaltation or worship, what's that look like? What's that look like? Well, in this place, legalism would say worship's got to look a certain way. License would say, oh, it doesn't matter who you're worshiping anyway. You know, but worshiping God with all of your heart, surrendering your pride to him every time you come in, embracing Christ every time you come in, exiting the cave of self-reliance every time you come in, and keep surrendering every time you come into this building on this side. But you know what? The biggest danger of all is to treat it as it's about this hour a week and not the other 167. So what's it look like to seek God with all of my heart and worship him with all of my life and be free from the cave of license or of legalism? What's it look like for evangelism to be free from the cave of license or of legalism? You know, legalism says, oh, stay away from them. I'm holy. Keep me. No, I don't want to do that. God will figure that out. License, you know, whatever, man, you know. Yeah, I did it once in a while. You know, no. Every encounter is a divine appointment by God to surrender your pride, to embrace Christ, to exit the cave of self-reliance, and to keep surrendering. What's it look like for encouragement as a parent, as a spouse, in a small group? What's it look like to seek God humbly with all of your heart, to surrender your pride to God, to embrace Christ, to exit the cave of self-reliance, to keep surrendering? Some small groups want to just stay together, and they'll never have an open seat for anyone to ever come in. Some small groups might never crack open a Bible. License, legalism. What about what God wants for your small group? Every small group is unique. What's God want? What's the word of the Lord going to say to me? Equipping. Clearly taught to uniquely serve. Some people want to take the church and make it a cookie cutter and have everybody come out the same, and their faith smells and looks and feels just like this. Well, Jesus Christ is our measurement for that, and it's about a relationship, and everyone is clearly taught and equipping to uniquely serve. God designed you uniquely. When the word of the Lord comes, do I hide or do I seek? What about excellent stewardship? Legalism says give 10%. Show up on Sundays and do a little program in the church. There. License says, well, whatever, man, I might be there. Give whatever you want, right? But what's God saying that you should give of your time, of your talent, of your treasures? Seek God with all your heart, humbly. See, a lot of you know my story of when It's 1992. I got on my knees after the IRS raided us by my bed, and I said, oh, God, make my business a ministry. And I went on and watched God do all these miraculous things. But about 8 years into it, I felt God saying, okay, Mitch, I'm going to take you from that, and you're going to do this church thing. You're going to write, teach, preach. You're going to lead. You're going to help the church to see what I've done here. No way, God. I want to maintain control of my own life. Look what we've done here. If I tell a guy to buy a car for $1 million, he'll do it. If I ask a guy to sell a car for $1 million, he'll do it. God, you need me here now. Look what you've done. Don't you want me here? And then I go into Obadiah. I want my past obedience to warrant future blessing, and it was all right there. And then I felt God, the word of the Lord, come to me and say this. Haven't I basically worked in you one thing? To help people make a decision. It's as clearly as I felt my spirit prompting from God. The word of the Lord came to Mitch. Haven't I helped you and trained you how to help people make a decision? I want you to help them make a decision about me. Finally, I humbled my heart and I sought God's will for my life. When God seeks, Are we going to hide in our pride? Or are we going to humbly seek his will? And, you know, our mission here is to help seekers, both saved and searching, help seekers, both saved and searching, to find and to follow Christ. And the easiest way to find Christ is to be found by him. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says that God seeks. His eyes go all over the world looking for those whose hearts are fully surrendered to him, seeking him. In Deuteronomy 31, it says that God hides from those caught up in their pride, worshiping other gods, including themselves. You might say, why? Why? And the reason, I think, is simple. And it's because Christ's cave is empty. Christ's cave is empty. And he's alive. And the word of the Lord came, John writes, and became flesh, and he dwelt among us. The word of the Lord came, and he dwelt among us. And he's alive. Christ's cave is empty. He died because of our pride. Are we now going to die to our pride of self-reliance? And so I want to ask you, when the word of the Lord comes, are you going to hide in your pride, in your cave of self-reliance, of legalism, fear of losing your reward, past obedience warrants future blessing? Are you going to hide in your pride, a cave of self-reliance, of license, fear of losing control? Or will you humbly seek the answer? The one who says, fear not. The one who says, be free. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Will you surrender your pride to God? Will you embrace Christ? Will you exit the cave of self-reliance? And will you keep on surrendering? Bob Purdy came into my office as we're working on the small group curriculum for this part. And he said, so Mitch, if you're not hiding in the cave of legalism, and you're not hiding in the cave of license, or you're not bouncing back and forth whenever it's convenient, where are you? Where are you? I said, Bob, it's unbelievable. I want to show you what I read to him. Colossians 3:3 says, for you died, church, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When the word of the Lord comes to you and to me, will we hide in our pride of self-reliance in one of two caves, legalism or license, or will we humbly seek him with all of our hearts? Because we're going to see next week, this is a prelude to God fixing to reveal himself in a mighty way. And Paul writes that God has revealed himself in Jesus Christ, and the mystery is no longer hidden. And the answer to all of this is to seek Jesus Christ with all of our hearts. Let's pray. And now, God, may it be so in this place. When the word of the Lord comes, God, may we listen. And not hide in our pride, not hide in the cave. God, we know you seek us first. We know no one can hide from you. God, help us to seek you with all of our hearts through humility. Seek you with all of our hearts, surrendering our pride to you, embracing Christ, exiting the cave, and help us to keep surrendering this side of heaven. We love you and we praise you, God. Make this a place of people who seek you humbly with all of their hearts. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. And all God's people agreed and said, amen. Thanks. Have a great week.